pray God gives you that word this morning. Pray with me. Say, Father, I want hearing ears. I want seeing eyes to receive what you have. I believe this word will bring transformation in my life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just one word that he can say to your heart, and you're open. You've confessed it. You believe it. And what I feel led to minister on is who Jesus is in you. This is so important that we know who he is in us. And so for some years, you know, I've just majored on that in my prayer life and my study and my memorizing the word, everything, who he is in me. One time I went to Pakistan and I was so tired. We were having a big meeting there and I had jet lag and I thought, oh, you know, what am I going to do? And I said to the Lord, oh, I am so tired. I have jet lag. He said, I'm not. And he said, it's not your name that's going to heal the sick. It's my name. It's Jesus in us. So point to yourself again. Say, Jesus in me. Now, for many years, you know, I've been in the scriptures, studied the scriptures, spoken the scriptures, and I know that the word works. And Jesus is the living word. And the word and the spirit give life to your flesh. And that's important. Amen? So the word this morning can quicken you, can heal you, can set you free from some kind of junky things you've been in, can heal your broken heart, can heal your broken body. I was in a service one time, not very spiritual, in a mission. Wally was singing, and, you know, we weren't in the ministry then. We were just quite young and starting out. And I had a heart, an enlarged heart, and they told me, I could never be active. And so I believe that God could give me a new heart. You know, he has spare parts in heaven, not a problem. And so I'm sitting there, not expecting that in that service, but suddenly I felt something so warm go over my heart. So on the way home, I said to my husband, I have a new heart. God has given me a new heart. Now, I'm almost 84. They tell me I'm in the best of health. But they always say, you have a wonderful heart. And so this morning, if you need healing in your heart, broken or otherwise, I'd like for you to stand up. I just feel there's a special anointing here to heal hearts. Just stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Now, I want everyone seated to be a part of my team. So I want you to extend your hand towards someone who's standing. And we're going to pray for miracles. Amen? We know that. Jesus gives us miracles. So everyone pray with me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I send the word into this heart that heals and delivers from every destruction. I speak to this heart. Be whole. Be strong. Thank you, Father. You're doing creative miracles in this service. This morning at 11:03, I believe I have received in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Who is Jesus in you? You know, this is so wonderful. And I like to read through the Bible every year because I have found that the Bible reads me. Amen? And the Bible says that God, this is Psalm 51:6, God desires truth in the inward man, and in the hidden man he will make us to know wisdom. So what is truth? Hold up your Bible or your phone, because I know some of you have your Bible on your phone. Wave it. Say, this is truth. Now, where is God looking for it? He's looking for truth in our hearts. So the more I read the Bible, the more I put truth in here. Then he says, this is so wonderful, he will take that truth and make it wisdom up here. So just think about this. Truth here makes a lot of wisdom here if I have a lot of truth. Little truth, little wisdom. And so I have read through the Bible, you know, many, many, many years, many times. And so looking at Jesus in every book of the Bible, because I think a lot of people don't read Old Testament. And Old Testament is very important because Jesus is in every book. When you look at Genesis 3:15, he's the seed of the woman. That's a virgin birth. You go to Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. You go to Leviticus, he's the high priest. You go to Numbers, you see he's the pillar of cloud, pillar of fire leading them, the rock that followed them. You go to Deuteronomy. Oh, I love Deuteronomy. He's the living word. Hallelujah. Now, Old Testament divides into four segments. So put your hand on your heart. Say, I won't forget. Old Testament divides into four segments. Okay, so what are they? So you need to know where you're going when you're reading. Well, first of all, we have the Pentateuch. That's easy. Then we have the history books. You know, we start into Joshua and Judges and Ruth and 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. And so we have those wonderful history books of people and people experiences. I don't know how you are, but the people in the Bible help me with where I am, good and bad. And so all those kings, and they always had prophets for them. God never left them profitless. And then you have the next segment, which are the wisdom books. Everybody likes these books. What are they? Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. And Jesus shows up and shows off in all of these books. He's so beautiful in the book of Job. And of course, Psalms are easy to see Jesus in. But then the fourth one is the prophets. So put your hand on your heart again. Say, I can't forget the Pentateuch, history, wisdom, prophets. And that's how the Old Testament breaks down. And Jesus is in every one of them. And when he manifests himself, when you see who he is. So, you know, I've put together a resource. This is not a book you're just going to pop up and read. A resource for the rest of your life of seeing Jesus in every book of the Bible. And I tell you, I am just amazed at what happens to people. And so this morning, you know, I'm going to be teaching from this, but I'm going to encourage you to be sure and get one before you leave. But I wouldn't just get one. You know, you give people flowers for gifts, they wilt. You give them candy, you make them fat. Give them God's word and change their lives. And so that's what I would be ministering from. So I want to look at New Testament, because New Testament also is in four segments. And so when we look at New Testament, we have the Gospels. What else do we have? We have Acts, that's history. We have epistles, which really has to do with your character, your lifestyle, how you can be victorious in your thinking, in your emotions. And then we have Revelation. So put your hand on your heart again. You say, I'll wear out my heart. No, you have a new one. Okay. So I won't forget. New Testament breaks into four segments. Gospels, Acts, Epistles, and Revelation. And so I put all of that in there. Now, I know what you're thinking about Revelation. You think, yeah, everybody teaches it differently. And I remember one time the Lord spoke to me some years ago when I was at Fred Price's and said, I want you to teach Revelation. I said, oh, God, you know, I can't teach Revelation. I don't have a revelation of Revelation, you know. And so I memorized it, and it took a long time, like 3 years. So, you know, when people say, well, who's right? Everybody's different. I am. So you have that at the very end with it. Now, this morning, I need four people who have strong legs, because you're going to stand with me for quite a while, to volunteer to come and stand with me. Okay, here's one, two, three. Got another one? Okay, four, come on up. Now, Juana, can you come and help me with these? Because I'm going to have you stand And I think we have enough, but thank you. Yeah, I'd rather have too many than not enough. Okay, I'm going to have you stand in a square. And so when I look at the four Gospels, seeing who Jesus is, I remember when I first started to read the Bible, I thought, why are there four Gospels? It just seems like the same stories told over and over. But the more you read the Gospels, the more you know that is not true. And so you read Matthew, you read Mark, you read Luke, and you read John, and you begin to see they're different. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called synoptic Gospels because they tell a lot of the same things over. Why do they do that? Because in the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything is established. So we look at them, and they're different for us. And then we look at John. Oh, my goodness. And John totally goes a different way. And so in studying those Gospels and seeing who Jesus is in that Gospel and who he is in me, I looked at all these people who came forward to receive Jesus today. This is who he is in us. These four Gospels tell us who he is in us, not just about him, but who he is inside us. So I have seen in the book of Ezekiel these four-faced creatures. And you know, they're so strange looking. One has the face of a man, but one has the face of a lion, one has the face of an ox, and one has the face of an eagle. Then we see it again. You think, well, what is that? That's so strange. But we see it in Revelation. We see these four faces again, and we see the man, the lion, the ox, and the eagle. And I believe this is represents in these Gospels who Jesus is in you. So when you look at Matthew, and I'd like you to be a lion. Could you say grr?
Say it again.
Grr.
Grr.
A little louder.
Grr.
That's better. And so when you look at Matthew, oh, you see the authority that Jesus moves in. You know, he raises the dead. He heals the sick. You know, he casts out demons. He does all kinds of the miraculous. He is a lion. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And you know, when you first get born again and you begin to pray in his name and you see what he can do, oh man, are you turned on. And what is that? That's a lion inside you. And we take that authority in his name. And you know, we need to do that. I'm going to tell you something I do every day. I pray against ISIS. I pray against Hezbollah and Fatah, Hamas and Al-Qaeda. I pray against them because we have authority. We shouldn't just watch the news. We should change the news. We have the name of Jesus. And we can change the weather. Amen? We can change things because we have Jesus inside, the authority. Say, grr. And every now and then, you know, I read Kenneth Hagin's book again on, you know, the believer's authority because I think I'm not changing the news enough. And so don't just let things overcome you and get all down. You have Jesus inside you. Amen. Amen. And he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world, and you can have authority. I know I have been told years ago, you would never be accepted in a Muslim country. You can't go there and do a healing meeting. But this is something that God thinks. God just thinks you can do anything. Put your hand on your heart. Say, I won't forget. God thinks I can do anything. So, you know, I applied for a visa. I did all the things. And I went. And it was my first time to really have a big healing meeting and in a Muslim country. But I noticed this because everybody said, oh, you're a woman. They'll kill you. They'll hate you. But I noticed that when people get healed in the name of Jesus, and the miracles begin to flow, honey, they don't care who brings it. And now, you know, my biggest meetings, the last meeting I had in Pakistan, I was 80 years old, and that would have been almost four years ago, not quite, 3.5. And so when I went, you know, we have all these big crowds of people, and literally 230,000 people, and they didn't kill me. They didn't kill me at all. And you say, well, you know, I'm a woman. I don't have authority. No, no, no. I think they think, that's what I think, they think, oh, she's a woman. Women are stupid. And she's old. What can she do? So I do everything. Why? Because I have the lion inside. And I see he can make anything work. He can give you favor. You know, I had a hard time getting into Iran. I prayed it for 4 years. I applied with a visa. I'm a tourist. They said, you're not a tourist. We know who you are. But you know, you don't give and you don't give up until you win. And you know, 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, thanks be unto God who always leads me to triumph. And through me, what does he do? He dispenses the fragrance of victory. Amen. Amen. Now, I didn't say half the time I win. What did it say for you? All the time. Why? Point to yourself. Say, I got the lion. Is that wonderful? And so we have Jesus in us, the lion. Take authority over these things. Don't just say, oh, our nation is going to now. Rebuke the devil. I'm praying for a revival in our military. I'm praying for a revival in our nation. We're living in last days. There's another outpouring, and it's coming, honey. Yeah. And Christians are standing in faith and believing God. Amen. Because we have the authority. Okay, Mark. This is Mark. So now Mark was represented by an ox. An ox is a sacrificial animal. An ox is a servant animal. So when you read Mark, it's quite short. It's just 16 chapters and a lot of immediately in it. And you will see that Jesus is a servant. Jesus served them. He washed their feet. He held their children. You know, he served them, constantly serving. And when we get to heaven in Revelation, at the marriage supper of the Lamb, guess who's going to serve? Jesus. What's he doing right now? He's serving us. He ever lives to make intercession for us. And so isn't it strange? The opposite of a lion is an ox. And Jesus in us causes us to be servants. And so sometimes, and I'm sure it never happened here, but sometimes people will say to me, well, you know, I'm a big teacher, or I have a big name, or I have a big company. I'm not going to be an usher. I'm not going to serve. Don't you know who I am? Well, I just know who Jesus is. And Jesus serves. And so, put your hand up. I believe this is the perfect balance. You know, we're a lion and we're an ox. So, say, I'm balanced. Now, I'll tell you something really funny about my husband. And, of course, Joy and Bob knew him very well. But when I would come home from a meeting, you know, I'd walk in, I'm all excited, and he was so behind me on every level. And I'd walk in, and I wanted to tell him about the meeting. Oh, had all these people saved, had people healed, blind eyes open. He didn't want to hear that. He said, we don't have any groceries, and you need to wash the clothes. He wasn't looking for a lion. He was looking for an ox. And so there are times we're not going to be a lion. We're going to serve. So I try to be available to serve in any way. And I see Sarah doing it, Reese doing it. It's wonderful. And I see my grandchildren doing it. But I remember one time I was on a small plane. Oh, and it was so bumpy and bouncy. And we were flying into Atlanta. And the woman across the aisle from me was vomiting. You know, she took the bag out. So when we landed, the Lord said to me, help her. Help her with her purse. Take her to the luggage, help her with her luggage. You know, she's sick. So I said to her, you know, I would really like to help you. You know, I saw that you were quite sick, and I'd like to help you. And I'll help you off the plane. I'm not in a hurry. I can even go the luggage with you. She said, if I wanted any help, I'd ask the stewardess. And I thought, did I hear from God? So I'm getting off this plane, walking across the pavement to go into the airport. And I'm telling you, and you've experienced this, the joy of the Lord hit me. And, you know, it's just radical. You could fall on the ground and roll and be a real holy roller. And I thought, oh, I've never had joy like this. And so I said to the Lord, why are you blessing me like this? That woman didn't even listen to me. He said, but you listened to me. Wow. There are times that we serve that maybe we're not even accepted, but we're accepted in the beloved. Amen? We're accepted in the beloved. Now I'm going to have you do kind of a little crazy thing. So would you stand up? I have crazy faith, so. You know, every morning when I get up, this is what I say first, even before coffee. Okay. Because I saw in the New Testament that he calls us beloved over 42 times. What? We're his beloved. So I say, good morning, Father. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. This is your beloved Marilyn. That's scriptural. So we're going to do it. Say, good morning, Father. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. This is your beloved. And say your name. Amen. And so he's in us. He loves us. He's wild over you. You can be seated. So Mark, oh, it's a gorgeous gospel. I love it. I love it. But then when I look in the gospel of John, John is represented by an eagle. So would you mind waving your arms? You're my eagle today. That's right. Real high. Wave, wave, wave. John is represented so totally different. And he is. It is a gospel that's really different in the way of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, who are synoptic gospels, kind of see things together. But John is totally different. And I love this in the gospel of John. It is the seven I ams of Jesus. I have that in that study guide. And, you know, he didn't say, I will be. He didn't say, I have been. He said, I am. He's present because he's alive in you when you've invited him in. And he never leaves you nor forsakes you. Amen. Okay, so, but what I see in this gospel is that he demonstrates before he says, I am. Now, most of the time people say, I am this. And then you say, well, show me you are. But Jesus did it just the opposite. So what does he do? In the second chapter of John, he's at a wedding and he turns water into wine. But then in John 15, he says, I am the vine. And this is what I love. You know, Jesus can turn the most ordinary thing into the supernatural. I mean, you can be in the most ordinary circumstance, feel you're the most ordinary person, and he can take that bland thing and make it wine because he's inside you. You know, I don't know how many people told me I would fail, especially on television. And when I first, and Bob will know this well, when I first went to a channel in Denver and met with a board to get on a secular channel, they said to me, you are not television material. You should stay with the radio. You would never make it on television. Well, you know, I love this about Jesus. He thinks you can do anything. Put your hand on your heart again. Say, Jesus thinks I can do anything. And so I didn't get discouraged. And then one man said, one board member, well, I think we ought to try her. I think she'll pay her bill. They said, okay. Now, that is 44 years ago. None of those men are on television. I still am. Oh, come on, people. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so John begins to show you the demonstration of Jesus inside you in the miraculous. Now, in John 4, if you remember, a man comes to him, his son is sick, and said, would you come and lay hands on my son? And Jesus said, go your way, your son lives. So the man did. He finished his business. Then he went home, and the son was well. And so he said, when did it happen? And yesterday, they said, it was at the time Jesus said, your son lives. Now, later, Jesus would say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The man went his way, believed the truth, and his son received the life. Jesus demonstrates. And that's why I want to have a meeting in Iran, in a university, with an imam or a mullah. Because I want that mullah to teach what the Quran says about Jesus healing. He's in the Quran. And I want to teach, but then I want to demonstrate. Woo! Jesus demonstrates! He is so wonderful. And so here we see this beautiful truth, but in John 5, oh man, we see a miracle of healing. And I love what Pastor Bob said, that Jesus sees people. He sees individuals. It said he saw this man by the pool. There were a lot of people by the pool. But he saw this man by the pool. And, you know, he said, would you like to be whole? Well, you know, the man is looking for an angel and somebody to put him in the water. He doesn't realize this is the Son of God. This is the one who made him and can heal him and make him whole. Do you want to be whole? And so the man's looking for an angel. And Jesus just hangs tight with him. He says, pick up your bed. Arise, pick up your bed and walk. It's kind of a process healing. So can you imagine? That man has not walked in 38 years. He's been there a long time. And if you are chronic this morning, Jesus heals chronics. So don't get that. I've tried everything. It's not going to work. Just shut up and believe. Amen. So he said, get up. Well, my goodness, don't you know that man struggled? That was an act of faith. And he got up finally. Now, what does he have to do? Is it bend back down and pick up the bed? And not only pick up the bed and walk, I mean, he's carrying himself and the bed. Amen. And so we see this man so beautifully healed. And then later in John 10, Jesus says, I am the door. I'm going to tell you this morning, he's the door to the miraculous. He is the door to the miraculous. You can look for angels. You can look for somebody to put you in the water. But he is the door to the miraculous. And so he wants you to have a miraculous life. I believe, and I'm studying all the miracles in the Bible right now. I believe God wants every Christian to have a supernatural life. And to live in the miraculous. And I found something about miracles, that they are always preceded by an act in the natural. When God said to Moses, go lift your hand, you know, over the Red Sea. And Moses didn't say, no, not going to do that. That sounds stupid. He did it. That was the act in the natural. Then the Red Sea opened. You can go through all of them. And so God wants you in the miraculous. He wants you to see not who you are not, but who Jesus is inside you. That is so key for us. Now, if you look at John 8, you know, that's where he says, I am the light of the world. He that follows me, 8:12, shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Amen? And so when we look at this, we think, wow, this is really something, because he's just spoken to a woman who is taken in adultery. And remember, he stoops down. They want to stone her. I noticed something about this that always bothers me. Where's the man? It takes two for adultery, not one. But they drag the woman in. And then Jesus, the way he handles things, he stoops down and he writes on the ground. What do you think he wrote? Because he writes twice. I think he wrote the names of the women they were sleeping with. Marianne, Suzanne, and remember they said, forget it, forget it. That's what I think. That's not what the Bible says. And of course, he said, he that's without sin, let him throw the first stone. And the only one there without sin was Jesus, and he didn't throw a rock. Jesus doesn't throw rocks at sinners. He saves them. Amen. Now, I'm memorizing this book, and I'm just loving it. And I said, oh, Lord, I just love John 8:12. I love the way that woman was set free from darkness. And this is what the Lord said to me. He said, you're so happy about this, but I'm not totally happy. I said, what do you mean? He said, I wanted her accusers as much as I wanted her. Jesus wants everybody. You know, you meet wacky people, I do too, on planes and so on. But I'm telling you, Jesus wants them. Amen? Amen. And so he is the light of the world. He's the light inside us, and he wants to be a light to everyone. I love airplanes, Bob. I think I have grace for them. And so one time I'm sitting with this man. He's drinking a lot. And so he said, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a pastor's wife. What do you do? He said, I'm an engineer. He said, you're a pastor's wife. I said, yeah. He said, well, you can't smoke. I know pastor's wives, they can't have any fun. Oh, I said, I can smoke. Really? I said, oh, yeah. He said, well, you can't drink. Oh, I said, I drink all I want to. He said, what kind of a church does your husband pastor? I said, it's Pentecostal. Then he said, well, I know one thing you can't do. You can't commit adultery. Oh, I said, I can commit adultery all I want to. What do you mean? Does your husband know you're talking like this? I said, he knows, because I just don't want to. I have Jesus in my heart, and I don't want to. And so when we see, you know, Jesus and how beautiful he is, he wants to be light, and he will tell you how to give light. Amen? Now I'll tell you another wild thing about how he'll give you light inside to speak to the outside, to those who are in darkness. One time I was in Pakistan, and they said, would you be willing to be on a radio program like Good Morning Pakistan? It's a call-in show. It'll be on healing. And I thought, I don't know, because if I say the wrong thing, ooh, I'm out of there. I'll never get back. I'm in the middle of a healing meeting. But I prayed about it, and I felt like the Lord said, go. So I got there, and people are calling in about healing. And a woman called in, and she said, you said you pray in the name of Jesus, and all these miracles happen. But why couldn't you pray in the name of Muhammad and have the same miracles? Pakistan has Sharia law. I mean, they're not kidding. And so I heard myself say this. It was Jesus. It wasn't me. I said, well, I don't know. I said, I've never used the name of Muhammad because the name of Jesus has worked so well. I haven't tried. Oh, that's not Marilyn Hickey. That's Jesus Christ in me, the hope of glory. And he will give you what to say. Amen. Amen. Because he's the light of the world. So that is so wonderful to us. And then we see in John 6, oh my goodness, where he is the bread of life. He is the bread of life. And he demonstrates there first. He multiplies the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Think about the little boy who gave the lunch. Did he ever dream that that lunch would feed 5,000 men, not counting women and children? Did he know he'd get his lunch back? Did he know there'd be 12 basketfuls left over? Oh, my goodness, look at this. This is a tremendous miracle. And so then Jesus multiplies it, feeds them all, and then he says, I am the bread of life. And folks, I have found that he'll multiply your bread. You know, he'll take money and multiply it. He'll bring people to you. You know, I remember one time we were going to Kazakhstan. We did not have the money. And a man said to me, I hear you're going to Kazakhstan. I said, I am. He said, well, how much do you need? Like he was going to pray. I said, well, we need $40,000 for this meeting. He said, well, we feel led to give you that. I felt led to receive it. Oh, he is the bread. And he can multiply bread. Now this, you're going to have to trust me on this one. So put your hand on your heart. Say, I trust you. You know, when we started our church, we just had like 22 people, and then it grew to 40 or 50. And we didn't have enough to pay the rent. And we had a real mean man who we had to pay the rent to. So this is Sunday night, and we're thinking, oh, we'll have enough in the offering tonight. And we needed $75. And we were planning, we prayed, we got to have $75. We have to pay him tomorrow. Well, three of us counted the money is $37. And one of the women, not me, one of the women had great faith. And she said, if Jesus can multiply loaves and fish, why can't he multiply money? Let's pray. So we prayed. We counted it. It was $75. Now, he's the bread of life. But I'm telling you, the craziest miracle I ever had with multiplying was in Egypt. And we had a big healing meeting in Cairo under a tent. And we had one day for just pastors and leaders. So we had registered 2,500 people for it. But 5,000 showed up. And we always feed lunch to them, put books in their language and so on, do a lot of things to help the leadership. And so the Egyptian women, you know, they have 2,500 boxes of Kentucky Fried Chicken. That's what we were paying for. That's what we could get the most of. And so 5,000 showed up. So now this is not my faith. These women said, well, if Jesus can multiply loaves and fish, why couldn't he multiply Kentucky Fried Chicken? And we had over 5,000 boxes. So don't tell me what Jesus can't do. He can multiply and meet needs in the most unusual ways. Stand up. I want to pray for your prosperity. I want you to put up both hands. Amen? Because he can prosper you. Don't listen just what the news says, what people say, your circumstances. So pray with me. Say, Father, I thank you for prospering me in both hands in Jesus' name. My best days are ahead. Biggest finances. You are meeting me in supernatural ways. Jesus takes what I have and multiplies it. Over and over. Amen. 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 You can be seated. Now he said, I am the bread of life. Wow. I am. Not I will be. Not I have been. I am. But there's something else I love about him in John 10. Remember, they're on a ship and there's a terrible storm. And it said Jesus saw them and comes to them. He gets in the ship and, you know, they get to the other side. And Luke, it says they got there immediately. And so you see, you know, everybody gets in dark, stormy times. You know what I'm saying? Everybody does. You know, I remember when my son got into drugs, you know, oh my goodness. I was just so concerned and I had to take the word of God. But, you know, he gets in your ship and gets you to the other side. But he said, I am the good shepherd. And so one night I was preaching in our church and we didn't know where Mike was. You know, he was out in the drug scene. And the devil said to me, who are you to preach? You can't even get your own son saved, you know. And so I said, oh, Lord, help me. He said, not to worry. When you're about my business, I'm about yours. Now, listen to what happened. It is so wild and so wonderful. So 2 weeks later, I see Mike, and he said, Mom, what were you doing 2 weeks ago on a Sunday night? I said, I was preaching. He said, well, I was hitchhiking. Some man picked me up. And he said, what's your name? He said, Mike Hickey. He said, do you know anyone named Marilyn Hickey? Mike said, yeah, she's my mother. He said, Mom, he took me home and preached all the way. He is the good shepherd. Amen. Now, the I ams. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I believe we can have a supernatural life here and have an eternal life in heaven. You know, they always say, life is good, but eternal life is better. Right? I am the resurrection and the life. And he demonstrated. Took a man, been dead 4 days, called him out. He was raised from the dead. Folks, we're seeing people raised. I haven't personally, but we're seeing people raised from the dead. But I like this. He said, I am the resurrection. So I believe, if I go that way, I believe I will be resurrected. But he also said, I am the life. That's so unique to me, because he'll give you life at whatever age. I'm almost 84. I'm having my biggest meetings in my 80s, bigger than my 30s. Don't tell me what he can't do. He is Jehovah Rapha. That's the Lord, our health. Amen. And we can walk in the fact that he is our resurrection, and he has raised us spiritually, and he is our life, and he can quicken our bodies. So when I look at John, oh my goodness, I see that eagle. I've heard they fly the highest of all birds, and they make the greatest nest, the fullest nest, and they train their young. I believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit takes you into an atmosphere that you never have. When I got filled with the Spirit, I used to be shy. Can you imagine? I'd go to church before we pastored. I'd leave church early and go sit in the car and roll up the windows because I didn't want to say hello to anybody. And my husband, the most friendly person in the world, you know. Now I'm not shy at all, as you can tell. What is that? That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think the Gospel of John shows you the atmosphere of living in the Spirit. And I don't believe you can pray too much in tongues. And, you know, I have prayer meetings in my house when I go home. And people come, and we don't do anything but pray in tongues. So, and it's just 1 hour. They come in on a Saturday night at 5 o'clock. They take off their shoes. I say, it's 5 o'clock. We start walking and praying in the Spirit. And then when it's 6 o'clock, I said, it's 6 o'clock. We gather in a circle, and we say, 1, 2, 3, breakthrough. And we have breakthroughs all over the world in the most unusual places. Why? Because you're not just living in the natural. You're living in the supernatural. And the Spirit knows how to pray for things you don't know how to pray for. And he makes them all work for good. One of the women I remember who came to the very first one, she had a daughter who was in a bad sexual lifestyle. And her daughter in 2 weeks called her and said, Mom, I can't live this way anymore. Breakthrough. The Spirit prays through you, examines your heart, knows the will of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, now here is the last one. And this is Luke. But it's 11:42. So I don't think we'll do Luke. Is that okay? No? How many of you want to do Luke? I didn't see every hand go up. People at the back are always flaky. They think you don't see them, and I see you. Luke is represented as a man, the face of a man. Now, when I go through Luke, I see how Jesus relates to people. And that's so important. He knew how to relate to all kinds of people. And really, he hung out with people that were pretty edgy, right? He knew people. He loved people. I don't know how to relate to everyone. And so how do we relate to people? Because when I see how much he loves people, loves me, loves people, but some people don't relate. You know, they just frown at you, they're ugly, whatever. But Jesus in you can show you how to relate because he knows how and he can give you that demonstration. Is that true? And so when I look at Luke and how he built bridges and all the things, and I have found healing is a big bridge in Buddhist countries, in Hindu countries, in Muslim countries, in atheist countries. And did you know there are more Christians in China than communists? And this is not a Christian report. This is the Economist magazine. That's cool. Amen? Amen. And when communism was so bad, you know, the underground church, we smuggle Bibles in. I've been in China 33 times. The underground church is just getting everybody saved, you know. And then now the Three Self Church, which is the above ground church and the underground church, are all up, and they're winning everybody and his dog. It's awesome. So, you know, we may have times we don't know how to relate to people, but Jesus in us can show us how to relate to that person. So I'm going to tell you a few examples. Aren't these people wonderful for standing here so long? So I like to take teams of people. We're getting ready to go to Argentina. And twice a year, we take the television program, open it up, and take people to go minister with me. And so we had gone to China. And I don't know, I think we had 150 people with us. And the woman who was in charge of the sightseeing, her name was Chong. And, you know, lovely Chinese woman. She could speak English well, very pretty, probably mid-40s. So I said, Chong, you know, you're so nice to our people. Could I take you to coffee? She said, no, I don't want to go to coffee with you. You know, I said, well, what about lunch? She said, I don't want to go to lunch with you. I said, well, would you come to the service tonight? She said, you don't understand. I'm a communist. I'm an atheist. I don't even believe in God. Of course I wouldn't come to church. So, but you know how God loves that person, and something inside you says, don't let go. So the next day she comes to pick up our people, and she said, I was at church last night, and I saw that video, and we have this Pakistan video, where we have all this big crowd of people, all these people getting saved, Muslims. You know, I preach with my head covered. I said, really wonderful. She said, I saw that. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. Did that really happen? I said, that really happened, Chong. Why don't you have coffee with me? She said, I don't want to have coffee with you. I said, well, lunch. Food here is so good. I don't want to have lunch. I said, well, tonight is our last night, and it's a healing night. Why don't you come? She said, you don't get it. I'm an atheist, I'm a communist, and I'm not coming. Well, but you know how Jesus is kind of, don't give up, hang in, honey, keep loving them. And so that night we went, the service is over, it's real hot. We walked to our van, our people got in buses. I got in the van, we're getting ready to leave, and here comes Chong running toward the van. And the Lord said to me, get her and get her now. So I jumped out. She said, I came to tell you goodbye. I said, Chong, are you saved? She said, no. I said, would you like to be? She said, yes. Oh, and she got wonderfully saved. See, I didn't know how to relate to Chong, but Jesus did. And he gave me, you know, keep in, don't give up, don't be rejected. Then I'll tell you one of the craziest ones I ever had. Was in a television studio when we first started to do television. So, you know, we're trying to be a witness to the cameraman. This is a secular studio. So I got there early. This cameraman's eating a candy bar. I said, don't you believe in sharing? He said, the only thing I share is my sex life. I thought, oh, God, I'm going to walk out. I'm not even going to talk to him. And I said, and the Lord said, give it to him. I said, I don't want to share your sex life, but I want to share Jesus with you. And I can tell you that if you died today, you'd go to hell because you don't have Jesus in your heart. I thought, oh, brother, why don't you tell it like it really is? And so I thought, you know, he'll be so insulted. So the next, in 2 weeks later, we came to do it. And he said, I need to talk to you privately. I said, okay. He said, I was taping at a church. He said, this last week, and I got saved. Oh, how to relate to people. Now, this is a soul-winning church, so I want you all to stand up again. I mean, you're always looking for the lost, right? Yes. You're always looking for the backslider. Amen. I know what you do. Put your hand on your heart. Say, Father, may I have special favor with sinners. Help me, Father, to listen to the Spirit. And help me in the next month to win souls into the kingdom. I love sinners, and sinners love me. in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You can be seated. Would you give these people a hand? Thank you. You stood with me a long time. Thank you so much. Now, again, I want, you could be seated now. Thank you. They're great. They're eager beavers. They're wonderful. Juana, what else do I have at the table? Bring up anything I have. I have the Seeing Jesus. Juana goes with me to Pakistan. Do you think she's a brave woman? Okay. Now, I have the study guide, which I want everyone to get at least one or two, because, as I said, this is not a book you're going to read through. It's heavy. It's 30 years of seeing Jesus in every book of the Bible. But I also, let's do these with this. I also put together, and these are very good for home groups or, you know, study groups, Sunday school. I put together seven. I broke this down into seven sections and made it study guides. So you read it and you fill out things. You read what I tell you. But also I have 38 DVDs that I teach on the whole Bible. So, you know, you say, well, I want more than just the study guide. This will be a great blessing to you. And so those will be available back there. And I would love for you to get it. I would be happy to even autograph it. Sarah has a new book out called Jesus Chicks. And it's the women that Jesus ministered to. I think you'd like it. I think you'd like to pass it around. So that's a good one. Now, Pastor, I want you to know this is not usual for pastors to give me permission to receive an offering. Are you cool with that? You really mean that? Okay. I'd like to identify this with my international travel. In May, I go to Argentina, and then I go to Brazil. This is May. Then I go to Jerusalem, and then I go to Egypt. In June, I go to Russia, and I go to Hungary. And then in August, I think this is right, I go to Africa, to South Africa and Tanzania. And then next fall, I go to Italy, and then I go to Singapore, and then I go to China, Chengdu, and I go to Tibet. And so the seed you sow helps with what we do to cover the earth with the word. You know, our television, it shocks me. A lot of these countries see you and understand English. And so it's a real blessing to get television into all these areas. And Daystar now just went on Australia, and we're starting to get mail from Australia. It's just awesome. But my call is to cover the earth with the word. So one of the ways we do it is by going in and having healing meetings, because healing is a dinner bell. And it rings for everything. Atheists come because they want to be healed. So, Pastor Bob, how do you want them to make out the check? Make it out to us or to you? To Calvary. Okay, now, I want to pray about what you sow, because I want God to multiply it. That little boy sowed his lunch, but look what he got back. We first sowed a $1,000 gift in Daisy and T.L. Osborne's ministry, and we were their partners. I met Daisy and T.L. about 5 years after I got into teaching the Bible on the radio, and she prophesied over me. She said, Marilyn, you will go to leaders of nations, and she said, you will be a world evangelist. And I thought, Daisy and crazy rhyme. I could never do that. But that happened. But let me tell you, that happened because we sowed there. And they sowed in our ministry many times. And I know people are passing mantles on, some are not. Poor Elisha, he was buried with his. That's pitiful. They threw a dead man on him. The dead man, you know, was raised. I'm not going to be buried with my mantle. I'm going to throw it on everybody I can get it on. Because, folks, we are in the end time, and we want to see people saved, spirit-filled, healed, and delivered. So what's the size seed you should sow? Well, what's the size harvest you'd like to reap? So put your hand on your heart. Say, Father, I thank you. I am your sheep. I know your voice. And I thank you for telling me the seed to sow. I thank you the mantle of this ministry is falling on me. I thank you this seed will win many souls. I thank you, Father, you called me for such a time as this. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So make it out to Calvary and expect a big harvest.
I want you to stretch your hand out to Marilyn. Let's believe God for continued supernatural strength. That God will just continue to grace this ministry. She's a woman and she's old. But God doesn't know that, does he? God thinks you can do anything. Boy, that's worth coming to church for today. Father, we just bless Marilyn Hickey today. We bless her mind, her body, her spirit. Father, I thank you that you make her and continue to make her strong in the Lord and the power of his might, that she has favor with God and with men and women around the world. I thank you, Father, that you use her as an ambassador of the cross of Jesus Christ, stronger than before. Thank you, Lord. We need this gift in the body of Christ. The world needs this gift. The harvest needs this gift, Father. And I just thank you that you continue to let her bear much, much fruit in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you come back and see us again?
Yes,
yeah. All right. Hallelujah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've just had a course in the whole Bible today. Amen. My, has this been rich? I tell you, you need to get one of the CDs of this service, if that's possible. If not, they'll put you on a waiting list. You need to get this and listen to it. There's so much meat that is in what has been given. 6:30 tonight. No throwaway services at Calvary. It'll be good tonight. Father, we bless the people. We bless the truth that has gone forth today. And I thank you, it's a lamp unto our feet, it's a light unto our path. Lord, you think we can do anything. And we receive that faith confidence. It's not over. It's not over. It's just begun. Father, I thank you that we can do anything and everything. We can do all things through Christ, who is our strength. In the name of Jesus, we believe it and we rejoice in it. Amen and amen. The product is on the table, I know, to my right, and I believe on your left also. Whatever's on that table will be a blessing to you. God bless you. Go with God. Be here tonight, 6:30.
You do miracles so great.